Welcome to Tai Chumbucket episode number 3. This is a real milestone for us, Robin. I did not expect us to get to 3 whole episodes, and guess what? It only took us 6 months.
That's incredible, incredible. I think we should start setting more goals. There's some sort of like actualization process that needs to occur here.
Goals? Like, you mean things we actually have to live up to?
Yeah, I mean, none of this freewheeling podcasting. We're gonna set this on a rigorous schedule now.
Like what? If we make promises, our many listeners will start, you know, calling in and demanding that we meet their expectations.
Jeff, stop calling in.
Yeah, he does have your cell phone number, so he'll just call you all the time, right?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Yeah. So really, what goals do we want to set with the show?
We already had our first potential syndicate give us an email in Nanaimo.
Whoa, really? The island is interested in our show.
I know. Apparently, we're well suited to an island environment.
Well, that's good to know.
So you've been busy, Justin.
Oh, yes, I've been to Montreal. I went there for a conference.
Yet again, you find yourself in the middle of a revolution.
Well, it's actually really, really strange because last year when I was traveling, I had a few trips to Greece, which was in the middle of a revolution. Second of all, to Spain, which also started a revolution right when I was there. I went there last May, actually May the 16th, the day after everyone stormed the square in Madrid and started the Indignados movement. And then later in the year, I went to New York right during the Occupy movement. And none of these were planned before the revolution started. I just had these trips planned for many, many months and went, and there they were.
So your memoir will be called I Was At Your Revolution.
Maybe so, but I probably won't even have a memoir. That's being way too ambitious. And so I went to Montreal for a conference and once again find myself in the middle of a revolution. I don't know how this stuff works.
We had our own version of the Montreal protests recently in Vancouver. We're going to get to that later. So what do we have lined up for the show today?
Well, today on the Tai Chumbucket, all the stories that fell through the hooks and other different catch nets and things at the Tai. I don't know what you guys use to track stories down. Fishing rods?
That's good, yeah.
We have a story of 2 11-year-old girls who are very heated about tankers on their coastline, and they are taking steps to make sure that they and their future descendants do not have to worry about tankers. But before we get to that, as Robin was just mentioning, we wanted to check out what was happening in terms of solidarity with the Montreal protesters here in BC.
Middle of the Art Gallery Square at Robson and Hornby, and it's a very interesting synchronized pot casserole action happening here. I don't know how they know the beat, but they seem to know the beat.
I think a beat has emerged just spontaneously.
So I don't know how long it will continue, whether we'll switch it up or whether it'll be a lull.
Right. Well, we should definitely talk to a few people here.
I know my head is pounding already, so let's get moving.
Yeah, let's figure out why everyone's here.
So Robin, there's a guy here with a bullhorn.
Yeah, it seems really unfair.
Yeah, I thought this was just going to be pots and pans.
His
we should talk to him.
His prize is don't forget to be awesome, and he's wearing an alligator hat. Does he know where he is or what he's doing? Let's find out.
I'm Ethan. I'm here because the bills that have been passed in Quebec are unjust. We should be able to wear masks during protests. I came to Occupy first today and people started calling me Frogman. One person called me Astro Frog, but Frogman caught on.
Okay.
So now I wear this all the time.
like most days?
Most days. Other days I wear a bowler hat.
Okay.
I do know that Quebec has it easier than many other schools, but I think that tuition should stay as low as theirs everywhere.
And so the bullhorn, what inspired you to bring a bullhorn out?
I went to the Casserole 3 days ago at Gravity Park, and I only had my air horn, or like squeeze air horn, and I thought, I need to bring everything else. So I brought, there's a train horn in there, and some egg shakers, and electric kazoo.
Okay.
Though I don't have the amp to hook it up to.
Why do you think there are so many people here today? What do you think most of the people here are here for?
Because they know that the world, they know that the things that are happening in Quebec and around the world are unjust, and they feel they need to come and either celebrate their rights and show that it's okay to have to not have those laws. Yeah, and other people are just here for a really good time because banging all these awesome cans is very tantrically inviting.
Cool.
And continue to be a really active Occupy organizer. I was involved with Occupy from day one, and I feel like what's happening in Quebec, certainly now, it might have started out as being specifically about tuition issues, but especially after the Bill 78, attempt to kind of repress freedom of expression and the right to assembly and so on, it's become about a lot more than that. And I've always felt like even Occupy followed a whole bunch of, you know, Arab Spring and other sort of revolutionary resistance activity elsewhere in the world. And all of this is expression of a deeper level of discontent with Western culture and the broader system as represented by our government, our institutions, capitalism, et cetera, et cetera. And even Occupy was sort of a non-demand, you know, it's just people are frustrated, right? And I don't see it as being any different in Quebec. And these are just solidarity activities. So this is just all part of the same energetic sort of process. It just manifests slightly differently. And the POTS thing is really good because it's not an angry kind of yelling, people dance. It's musical, not at this point, but, you know, it gets to be rhythmic at some point. And, and that's what it is. I think they're mic'd up, so let's see what's going on here. What brings me here is that, I believe that change is necessary in the world. It's complicated, and I just feel like we're part of a historical process. And this is what all of this is tapping into, really, what anybody's individual role is and how this is all going to unfold. Who the heck knows, you know? So.
How is Occupy playing a role here today?
Yeah, there's a very large number of people here are from Occupy. Occupy's been involved in a lot of different stuff. It just hasn't been branded as Occupy in virtue of the negative connotations associated with Occupy. You know, robocall rallies, this, a lot of the street level activity that you see happening involves Occupy participation and a lot of Occupy organizing.
I have one more question for you. Do you think there are students here from BC that are angry about their own tuition? Like, why aren't students here getting as active as they are?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good question. Something I've been puzzling about. I mean, it's generally, Quebec is a more politicized culture with, you know, the separateness issues, and it's just the sort of European-ishness of Quebec. But I mean, I don't know the exact answer, but it's definitely a more politicized culture than Vancouver. It's hard to get anything going in Vancouver here, right? So there are probably some students here, but we'd certainly like to see more. You know, there are student organizers here. I've actually worked with UBC NSFU students. We're trying to kind of activate the student movement here, but it's going to be tougher going.
What would you call that?
A pie pan.
Pie pan.
That's a pie pan.
I figured it add a nice, harmony to everyone else's.
And so what brings you out here, Roslyn?
I've been really, really inspired by seeing like the hundreds of thousands of people that have been out in the streets of Montreal every night and have always wished that we had that kind of culture here in Vancouver. So it's awesome to see that people are organizing even our own little attempt to, you know, show solidarity for what's happening there.
Do you think there's any potential for students in BC to organize the same way that Quebec students have been organizing?
I'd love to think that. I think that they need to realize that they're like, what's happening in Quebec is working, and like, we've been so disenchanted by thinking that we can't really do anything, and you know, now's the time to realize we really can if we enough of us stand up and make enough noise. That's the difference between here and there. It's like here, when like people were out like with Occupy for like a month, people were already like, all right, time to go home, you've made your point. Like, whereas there, like, that's how politics work, that's how decisions are made. People stand up and get angry for long enough, and then finally the politicians are like, all right, we'll listen to you. You like paid your dues, you were out in the street for months, like, we're gonna have to do this. Whereas here, that's like seen as being so unreasonable. And like,
why don't you just give us a few things that BCers have to march about? Like, you know, what aren't we marching about?
Well, I mean, I helped organize the big rally that happened at the Art Gallery back in March against the Northern Gateway Pipeline. And I think, like, really that's the sort of thing that, like, in BC, like, we don't really seem to, like, get angry about a lot, but, like, if we should get angry about something, it should be about our our nature and, like, the amazing, you know, landscapes that we have around us that we see, like, we claim we really care about, but then, you know, we're too busy out kayaking for the day to actually then, like, get organized and, like, protect them for the future.
Standing on the corner, I didn't mean no harm.
Well, it was great hearing from Ethan and Suresh and Rosalind at the Solidarity protests in Vancouver.
That was definitely the most pots and pans I've ever been around. It was awesome.
So what do we have up next on the podcast?
So going from casseroles to cupcakes, I met two girls who were baking a way to say no to pipelines. When I was headed down to the Kitsilano Farmers Market a few weekends ago, and there was a big sign that said bake sale. Come over, get our cupcakes, and sign up for a photo that would be going on down at Kitts Beach the following weekend in order to get a lot of people together to place an ad in the province to say that Christy Clark needs to take up the issue of tankers, no tankers on the BC coast, and make it a priority.
And did you buy a cupcake?
I did. I got a cupcake, and it was delicious, and I'm not really a cupcake person.
And then you asked Jasper's mom for her number.
Well, I don't really normally go around asking moms for numbers, but yes.
So then we spoke to them about doing the ads.
I'm Mia, and I'm Jasper.
And how old are you guys?
I'm 11, and I'm going to be turning 11 in October.
I'm 11 tomorrow, so I'm technically 11.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So I understand that you girls just baked a bunch of cupcakes for an ad that you wanted to buy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we did a bunch of bake sales to raise money to get an ad that has a big picture that's like thousands and thousands of people who like support BC to tell Christy Clark that we're against the oil pipeline.
Yeah, and the picture was taken on Sunday at 4 p.m.
And there's a bunch of people there, like thousands and thousands of people.
What's the goal of the advertisement? What do you really want everyone to take away from the ad when they see it?
Well, we just want Christy Clark to know that we're
against the pipeline
and the expansions of it.
And we hope she'll notice it and start to consider it.
Consider saying no to it.
Yes. More and more ads in the newspaper and more people to join it, so it'll be even harder for Christy Clark to ignore it.
So guys, why does somebody who's 11 years old or almost 11 years old care about the pipeline? What does it matter to you?
When oil tankers crash and they spill, it kills lots and lots of animals and hurts a lot of plant life, and I really love animals, so I want to stop that. I don't like that.
I'm all with that too, but I'm also really worried about our future because more and more oil tankers are going to be coming in the future, and you might as well stop it now than when it's getting really, really bad.
And so what was it like to be down at the crowd at Kitts Beach taking the photo with everybody? What did it feel like to be there?
It was really fun. I was at a dance show, so I missed the picture, but I came afterwards, and there were still, like, a lot of people.
I was there for the photo, and there were so many people, and it was hard to get organized, but it was a great experience.
And the crowd was really, like, positive, and I thought there might be some people coming who were like, this is a bad idea, you shouldn't do this because we want the pipeline for us, but there was no
all positive.
It was all positive people, like nobody came that wanted to stop us.
When is this, has this ad run yet? Or when is it gonna run in the newspaper?
In a couple of
week. There's already, like, the media came and they put something in a newspaper.
They put 24 hours?
Something like that.
They put a photo, but it's, like, not the real one with all our arms raised and showing all our signs, but that's not going to be the real one.
But they, so that was free because they just decided to put that in.
Yeah, but, like, the real one is going to come in, like, a few weeks.
Very cool. And so you probably went into school on Monday and all your friends were like, what'd you do this weekend? And what did you tell them? How do your friends respond when you tell them that, you know, we had this bake sale and then we had this photo? What do your friends think about all this?
I was doing the bake sale with a couple people from my school. So they knew about the photo. I think one of them was there. Michael was there. But I guess they were kind of like, some of them were kind of surprised that they didn't make it. And some of them were sad that they weren't there because they didn't really know it was on that day. Because they also really worked hard to get it. And then they missed the photo. So, and then I think some of them were there.
Do your friends at school ever say, why do you do all this? Why do you care about the tanker issue and pipeline issues?
Sometimes. And then yeah. I say stuff like, well, it's really important to stop this because it's really bad and it could hurt our future. And I guess they understand.
And have you guys learned anything from this? What are your sort of big lessons?
After this whole, like, really long thing, I've, like, really been wanting to, like, help the Earth more. So, like, be more Earth-friendly. Like, I was always, like, Earth-friendly before, but after this, like, experience, I've been wanting to be more Earth-friendly.
It's been life-changing. Like, before, like, I knew that, like, the environment was in now I'm really connected to her. Like,
now I know that it's going to be,
like, now I seriously want to change the world.
Very awesome. Very awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us for the podcast.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Bye.
So that closes out the third episode. That is three more episodes than we had when we originally started.
Mm-hmm. Justin, I think you remember at the beginning of this podcast, we decided to set some goals.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm. And so I noticed you've been working away on that clipboard there. Have you come to any conclusions or have you drafted any goals for us to work on?
Yes. Yeah, so given that we have definitely more listeners than episodes, at least slightly more, I did some calculations and roughly, you know, 1% of the population of any given area will listen to podcasts.
Okay.
So if we take the 4 million people in BC and we take the number of listeners that we currently have, we're reaching about 0.0005% of our potential audience.
That seems ripe for goal setting.
There's nowhere to go but up.
But up.
Well, I mean, we could go down, actually, but mostly up.
Is it possible we could drop a zero for the next podcast, or is that just too crazy?
Well, I know that the Tai has a really robust promotions department, and so they will be able to just push out this episode to the world.
Mm-hmm. This will be put on Reddit and stumble upon. It will be highly tweeted and Facebooked.
I need to see tweets about this every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not going to reach our goal.
I've heard that's a very effective strategy.
Yeah. Or our fabulous listeners could just tell their friends that they listened, that they enjoyed it so much that all the banging of pots and pans didn't drive them crazy. It actually comforted them and made them want to cook more at home.
That would be too kind if our listeners did that for us. So thanks very much for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed episode 3 of the Tai Chum Bucket.
And one of our goals that we can meet is ensuring that episode 4 is less than 3 months away. We can definitely meet that goal.
We got that.